This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Hope you're doing well on this Friday afternoon. On the way later, the Cincinnati International Wine Festival happens next weekend with grand tastings at the Duke Energy Convention Center on Friday and Saturday. A conversation with the honorary chair of this year's festival, Leonardo Lacascio, from Winebow, coming up in about 20 minutes. And if you want to get a primer about wine before the tastings, you might want to check out the book Hello Wine by Melanie Wagner. I'll talk to her about the book and her career later as well. But first, it's Oscar time. The Oscars happen on Sunday. What are your picks for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor and Actress? And why do you pick those? Let us know by calling 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, send us a tweet, or post on the WVXU Facebook page. Here with me in the Cincinnati Edition studio are Cincinnati Public Radio movie maniac Larry Thomas and City Beat movie critic T.T. Stern-Enzi. Welcome, gentlemen.
Greetings, Earthling.
I guess you all are in high spirits because the Academy Awards are on Sunday night. Yes or no?
Well, the high spirits come before the show starts and, you know, you set up a little table next to your chair. Then you're in high spirits.
During the show.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I want to ask you both to first share your overall impressions of the 86th Academy Awards. How is the crop of movies this year and the actors and actresses that will be lauded on Sunday night?
You know, I think it's an interesting slate of films. Pretty much what we would expect. The debate, though, of course, is going to be, it looks like we have a three-film race for Best Picture: American Hustle, 12 Years a Slave, and Gravity. So the idea that I find really interesting about that is for audiences who actually, people who actually went out and saw films this year, there's a great chance that they saw at least one or two of those films. So they are they might have the chance to be in the race a little bit, so that helps.
Larry?
Yeah, I think it was a good year pretty much for films. I mean, we've seen some years where it's like you look at the nominees and think, what? But there are a lot of good films here, a lot of good performances. You know, everybody has their favorites, the films that they feel got slighted, whatever. But, you know, plenty to talk about. And another thing is, I guess part of it has to do with this lousy weather we've had for the past few months. It's hard to see all these films. Who's got time?
Well, I was going to ask, it was one question we already had via email, is how many people even see the nominated movies before the awards? You know, folks, you know, for a lot of folks, I know, sitting on the other side of the glass there, wait till the DVD comes out. And for some of these films, that DVD is not there yet. So how many do you think of them among the Academy voters actually see all these films?
Well, the Academy voters are another matter because they get screeners sent to their house.
Wow, that's true. That's true.
But, you know, they do get the screeners, but I'm never sure that they actually watch the movies, which is a problem.
They probably do a 10-minute read and go through that. And if they get to a point where they get bored with it, they'll move on to the next one.
Right, right.
Well, many people say, you know, I've heard various movie pundits here, especially this morning, talking about how there are really no surprises except for Best Picture. Do you really feel there are no surprises that will be showing up on Sunday? I mean, especially when it comes to the actors and actresses categories.
You could say there are no surprises and be fairly certain that you've got the right pick. But somehow, somewhere in one of the categories, there's always going to be something that just totally comes out of the blue.
Well, but let's hit these categories here, and we'll begin with the actress in a supporting role category, which the nominees are Sally Hawkins in Blue Jasmine, Jennifer Lawrence in American Hustle, Lupita Nyong'o in 12 Years a Slave, Julia Roberts in August, Osage County, and June Squibb in Nebraska. Who leaps out for you guys when it comes to the actress in a supporting role?
I've been hanging on to this one for a while. I feel like it's really going to be Lupita Nyong'o from 12 Years a Slave. An incredible performance, really takes that story in a completely different direction, sort of sets off the idea of we're watching Solomon Northup and his experiences. There's a film just about that character that would be amazing. But that's also not to slight any of the other performers that are nominated in the category. I just think that she's head and shoulders above everyone else.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with Waititi. But, you know, Jennifer Lawrence is so popular now, and she's in like every other movie, and she just won an Oscar last year. It's like she's Meryl Streep Jr. If she's in a movie, she's going to get nominated. I tell you, if I was going to pick something off the wall, it would have to be June Squibb in Nebraska. I mean, just that feisty character in a black and white, low-key film like that. I mean, it is attention-getting, and it's like, gee, you don't see much of that anymore.
Mm-hmm. And Nyong'o has been very much in the news. She's been making splashes and headlines in many different facets, and that might sway voters or have swayed voters a little bit.
True.
And that as it goes along. Okay, actor in a supporting role, Barkhad Abdi in Captain Phillips, Bradley Cooper in American Hustle, Michael Fassbender in 12 Years a Slave, Jonah Hill in The Wolf of Wall Street, and Jared Leto in The Dallas Buyers Club. I'll start with you, Larry, for the actor in a supporting role pick. What do you think?
I think that's one of the categories where it's pretty much a sure thing to go to Jared Leto for Dallas Buyers Club. I mean, that's just been a role that has gotten tons and tons of rave reviews. Bradley Cooper will have another shot. Jonah Hill, he'll probably have another shot. It's his second nomination. But Jared Leto has actually, you know, dropped out of films for, what, 5-6 years and done other things, and now he's back with a vengeance with this really attention-getting role.
I think you had a great line in your article, TT. I remember something about, you know, put a guy in a dress and a wig and makeup. You got to give him some credit.
You know, so. that was a great sort of joke for me. But the thing that just blew me away, I saw this film in Toronto at the festival, and I would have to say for the first 15 or 20 minutes as you're watching the film and he's on screen, I honestly didn't even realize who he was. It was like this was a completely new discovery that you were getting to experience right there on the spot. And when we walked out of the theaters, out of the press screening, the buzz had already started. It was his film. We were talking about him, and it's just carried through. It's an amazing job.
That's T.T. Stern Enzi, a movie critic with the City Beat newspaper, and joining me also is Larry Thomas talking about the Oscars on Sunday. Looking at the picks, we just went actor in a supporting role. And let's go to actress in a leading role. The actress in a leading role, Amy Adams in American Hustle, Cate Blanchett in Blue Jasmine, Sandra Bullock in Gravity, Judi Dench in Philomena, and Meryl Streep in August Osage County. Hear a lot of buzz about Amy Adams being the lock-in here, but Sandra Bullock, everybody's favorite, and then there's Meryl Streep and Judi Dench. You know, y'all's pick?
Well, Sandra Bullock, talk about somebody who has to carry the whole film.
Mm-hmm. But she wasn't carrying anything. She was in zero gravity.
That's true. Yeah, that's
not a tough job, really, if you think about it like that.
So you feel this is one of those no surprise categories?
No, I don't. I think it could be a three-way race. It could be. I mean, Cate Blanchett's getting a lot of adoration for Blue. I almost said Blue Velvet, not Blue Jasmine. I was having a flashback there. Sandra Bullock, of course. But, you know, I still think the Academy is always very Brit-centric. So there's just a chance that Judi Dench might pull something off because, you know, I've heard she's not in good health and it might be their last chance to give her a real recognition because she's been around for a long, long time and is one of everyone's favorites.
And I think in last week's City Beat, didn't you pick Cate Blanchett and Blue Jasmine?
I did. Again, I feel like pretty early on I saw Kate's performance in that film, and she just nailed it. I mean, we were talking, and it's very true. Sandra Bullock really does carry Gravity in a particular way because it's her story. But what Cate Blanchett does is also, in its own way, she pretty much she comes close to just sucking all of the air out of that story into her.
Mm-hmm.
She really does, and it's rare that we see a performance of that magnitude. I would honestly say in an ideal world, the closest thing to it would probably have been Meryl Streep because Streep does the exact same thing in August Osage County. But yeah, if I'm going to toss the coin right now, I go with Blanchett for Blue Jasmine.
Well, the difference is there with the whole cast of August Osage County is that you're dealing with a bunch of people that you don't want to be in a room with.
Right.
You agree or disagree with anything you're hearing from these movie maniacs here on Cincinnati Edition this afternoon? You can call us at 513 513- 419-7100 or email us talk@wvxu.org. Well, let's go to director, I guess, would be probably the next best place to go. And I know that there's been a lot of talk here, a lot of bouncing between some of these. There's American Hustle, David O. Russell, Gravity, Alfonso Cuarón, Nebraska, Alexander Payne, 12 Years a Slave, Steve McQueen, and The Wolf of Wall Street, Martin Scorsese. This, you know, for me, as I was looking at this, big names here, some deserving, but everybody's saying Alfonso is going to walk away with it.
I'm saying he's going to walk away with it. I'm not sure that I agree with the idea of him winning.
Hmm, really?
Gravity is an amazing technical achievement, which solely rests on his hands and his shoulders to make that work and to come together in the way that it does. So I completely appreciate that. But I have just been, I'm far more swayed by what McQueen does with 12 Years a Slave. Hmm. For me, one of the most powerful images that comes up in that film is literally when Northrop first wakes up in that pen and he's chained to the ground. And all of a sudden, as you see it, it felt like it could have been this existential kind of experience. He could have been on just a blank plane of existence. But to set that up and to give us that sense of the isolation and what that felt like, that's a great director's vision to say, okay, I need this to look this particular way to make sure that my audience really feels this sensation and understands that state of being and what it would feel like. That's just primo work, primo.
Kick it to you, Larry. What do you think?
Ditto.
Really?
Yeah, you nailed it. It's like, I kind of think Alfonso Cuarón is going to win because, you know, it's one of the few films that did a lot of business that got great reviews and all that. But, yeah, there was a lot of Sandra Bullock in Gravity, but what McQueen did in 12 Years a Slave was the humanity of it, which, you know, is just very hard to get around that.
And if Steve McQueen does win, he would be the first African-American Best Director Oscar,
absolutely.
If I'm not mistaken.
Well, actually, that's not true.
Oh, no.
He would be the first black director, but not African-American, because he's not American.
He's British.
Yeah. Which,
okay. Thank you. I'm sorry I slipped
which
on that.
It's interesting because, as I've written about, I think that a win for him would sort of change our dynamic and understanding of what that would mean, because we've always talked about, in terms of the country, looking forward to that first African-American director. In some ways, it's almost parallel to the idea of having the first African-American president who was not exactly African-American in the way that we expected either. So it does. It sets off a very interesting kind of sensibility for us to kind of shift the paradigm and understanding, okay, maybe there is something else to this global idea of race and who we are and how it all comes together.
Very interesting. Well, we need to go now to, well, there were 9 of them to pick from. We hear it's a 3-way fight. Best Picture, the nominations being American Hustle, Captain Phillips, The Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street. You movie maniacs, what do you feel will be the winner? And do you feel it really is just a 3-way fight?
Larry?
If I had to put my money on the table, I'd have to put it on 12 Years a Slave.
Just because that's an Oscar-type feeling movie.
It's an Oscar-type feeling movie. Some of the, you know, the others are all, you know, worthy. Some of them more so than other nominees. But yeah, it's like, that's the kind of film that if you're going to go out and make a movie and have your name on it and be remembered for it, that's the kind of movie you'd want to make.
TT?
Totally agree. And the reality is, based on how the Academy votes and this notion that you have these Academy voters out there who got screeners, because they probably didn't go see these movies in theaters, but they got these screeners. There's been a lot of discussion about whether they actually watched all the films, and in particular, whether they watched this film. 12 Years is that film that everyone has said, you know what, it's a great story, but it's difficult to watch. I'm not sure I'm ready for it. All of those kinds of discussions have been swirling around, but I think because of the subject matter, and whether you watched it or not, I think that, and I'm not excited about this idea, but I think the voters will look at it and feel that it is the right thing to do, maybe, if they even if they didn't watch it. And so it will get a lot of that kind of support, which will hopefully mean that somewhere down the line, either those voters who didn't watch it will finally catch up with it, or more importantly, if it wins, audiences will go out and catch up with it.
Well, we only got – go ahead.
I was going to say it doesn't hurt that the film also won the Best Picture and Director from the British Academy.
That's true.
Well, we only have about 45 seconds or so left, and I wanted to ask you real quick. There are two films that have 10 nominations apiece, American Hustle and Gravity. Any chance that one will sweep all 10 of their categories, or do you feel somebody's going to be mighty disappointed come Sunday evening?
I don't know. I don't think anybody's going to get all of their categories. They may get one or two or whatever, but I don't see anybody doing 10.
If you're betting on who's going to win more, I would go with Gravity because they're going to win technical awards.
Oh, have to, yes.
Yeah, they get the technical awards.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Can't wait to see how your picks all wash out come Sunday evening when Ellen DeGeneres takes the stage to host the 86th Academy Awards.
Oh, I got one more thing to say.
Yes, sir.
I'm still miffed that Inside Llewyn Davis didn't get a picture nomination.
Duly noted.
All right. Well, you've got that. I'm more concerned about Blue is the Warmest Color not being in the mix.
Which I have not yet seen. I've heard great things about it. It wasn't even submitted by France.
Right. All right.
T.T. Stern Enzi, movie critic with the City Beat newspaper, and Larry Thomas, Cincinnati Public Radio's a movie maven, talking about the 86th Academy Awards happening on Sunday evening. You can find more details at wvxu.org. This is Cincinnati Edition.